The Navi Nachum came from the town of Elkosh, and that's about all we know about him. We don't know where Elkosh was. We're not 100% sure of the time period when he was a Navi. The Rambam identifies him as a Talmud of the Navi Yoel, and that he prophesied during the time of Menashe, king of Yehuda, whose name is not mentioned in the Sefer, because the Sefer is going to be about what happens to the enemies of the Jewish people, and the evil king Menashe doesn't deserve any credit for that whatsoever. The Rambam says it's about 70 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, which would place him, the Churban Bayis Rishon, as 586 before the Common Era. So this would be, let me do my math backwards, 644 before the Common Era, 44, and then 86. No, that's too many. 70 years, so 517 before the Common Era. I'm not good at math. Math is hard, as Barbie once said. In any case, however, some say that Nachum was from the time of Sancheriv, which was several decades earlier. Either way, at this point, when Nachum arrives on the scene, Ashur has been the greatest power in the Middle East for almost 100 years. And the Navi is going to tell them that if they don't change their wicked ways, then they're going to be utterly destroyed, which in fact is what happened. 40 years later, Bavel and Madai march into Nineveh and bring it down completely. Now, Yonah had gone to Nineveh many years earlier to warn them that if they didn't do tshuva, that Nineveh would be destroyed. And they did tshuva at the time, but they seem to have reverted back to their bad ways again, as backsliders often do. The Malbim says Sefer Nachum is two sections, even though it's only three prakim. Perek Aleph and Beis are the prophecy of Nineveh, and Perek Gimel is the vision of Nachum, which foretells how Nineveh is going to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The destruction of Nineveh by Nebuchadnezzar is actually described greatly in non-Jewish sources and historic sources from the time period, and steles and other things that still remain. So we know it's going to happen. It's just a question of when. Masa Nineveh. This is the harsh prophecy regarding Nineveh. This is the burden regarding Nineveh that is going to come. So the Navi carries Masa, the prophecy, in his mouth, but it's also a burden because of what's going to happen. Nineveh is the principal city of Ashur on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, settled by Sancheriv, made the capital of Ashur. It had more than 120,000 people in Sefer Yonah Perek Daled that we already discussed. Sefer Chazon Nachum Ha'El Koshi, this is the book of the vision of Nachum the El Koshi. Chazon is connected to what we know about Yeshaya that we lain on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. So it's a prophecy of doom, a prophecy of destruction. Yeshaya was prophesying more than 100 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but that's what he was talking about. Elkosh may have been one of his ancestors. Elkosh may have been the city he came from. We're not sure. Beis, Kel Kanova no Kem Hashem, the God, the Lord, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a jealous and vengeful God. No Kem Hashem Uva Al Chema. There's a lot of literary usage here where it repeats the phrase to really give it power. Hashem is a jealous and vengeful God, jealous and vengeful God full of wrath. So he's going to avenge Klal Yisrael on their enemies. Halivai, as I record this during the aftermath of what just happened in Australia, that time should come and that we should get to see it. There's a word I don't say in Avinu Malkeinu, Nikom Nikmas Avadecha Le'einenu, and it was a later addition into the Nusach, so I don't say it. The traditional Nusach is Nikom Nikmas, that Hashem should avenge the blood in his own time, in his own plan. But Le'einenu, I understand the impulse, where you'd really kind of like to see it. No Kem Hashem L'tzarav. Hashem will avenge himself upon his adversaries. Actually, No Kem means he's doing so already at the present time. V'noter hu la'ayavav. He bears a grudge. He watches, literally, his enemies. He stores up his hatred for his enemies. And Rabbi Shimon, Rashi brings down, says that the three expressions of vengeance that are being used here correspond to the three exiles to which Sancheriv exiled Klal Yisrael. First, a few of the tribes, then the 10 tribes, I'm not quite sure what the third is, unless it's the cities of Yehuda that were exiled. Gimel, Hashem erech apayim u'gadol koach. Hashem is slow to anger and great in power. V'nake lo yinake. Lo yinake. He will surely not acquit. He will not absolve. He will not forgive the iniquities of Ashur and what the terrible things they did. Again, we live in a time where we could quite easily bear this happening to Hamas. Hashem besufa uvishara darko. Hashem's way is with a tempest, and uvisi'ara, sorry, and with a storm. So that's his way. He uses the powers of nature as messengers to wreak retribution on his enemies. The mighty winds, the floods, the east wind always, the east wind in the Middle East is a simon klala. Va'anon avak raglov, and cloud is the dust of his feet. So that can be a reference to the pillar of Anan when we left Mitzrayim. Yechezkel talks about a cloud covering her. So the enemies are going to get it. He comes swiftly like a tempest and a storm, and then he just leaves dust everywhere. And finally, Dalad Goer Bayom Vayab Shehu. He rebukes the sea and dries it up, which is hard to imagine, but I'm sure all the people would be yelling climate change, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol Hana'aros Hecheriv. He dried up all the rivers. So all of those who are expecting, you know, the water to be endless, remember, during the Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes after the Nile River, which they considered a god and the source of everything plentiful in Egypt. Umlal Bashan v'Carmel. Bashan and Carmel are cut off. Uferach Levanon umlal, and the blossoms of the Levanon are cut off. So the good dwelling places, all the good places to be, where the sweet fruit comes from, as soon as, Rashi says, as soon as the non-Jews, the terrible non-believers enter the Beis HaMikdash, everything is going to dry up and they wither. And if you look at Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael is not living there, it's a desert, like so much of the Middle East. And then the Jewish people come and the desert blooms. That is not just because of our great hydroponics. That is because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu intends for the area to operate, and that Klal Yisrael's inhabitants of the Eretz Yisrael is a very key point to its success, to its blooming, to its ability to propagate.